This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds, and there's no one I would rather talk about books with than Nancy Pearl. You know her as someone who writes about books, the Booklust series. You've seen her on cable TV talking to authors, and you also know her as a former librarian, perhaps the most famous librarian in the country. Nancy Pearl, a great pleasure to have you back again.
Ross, it's so nice to be here and to talk books with you. That was such a nice introduction. Thank you.
The book you want to talk about is Factory Man by a woman by the name of Beth Macy. What about this book is great?
Well, this is one of the sorts of nonfiction books that I most enjoy, that gives me information that I can kind of noodle about when I'm done. And the subtitle of this book will kind of set the stage for what the book is. The subtitle is How One Furniture Maker Battled Offshoring, Stayed Local, and Helped Save an American Town.
Ooh, I'm interested.
Yes. So I thought this would be a book that you would enjoy reading. It's the story of the Bassett family, and it's probably hard to find a family in America who did not at one time or another own a piece of furniture made by the Bassett Furniture Company. And it focuses on a man named J.B. the Third, John Bassett the Third, and his coming smack up against the whole issue of globalization and all of the attendant issues that face American workers and American companies in the face of globalization.
So this big story we've been hearing about for years and this kind of a personalization of it.
Yes.
Where did the Bassett family make their furniture?
The Bassett family made their furniture in Virginia. And a lot of the big furniture companies were in North Carolina. They happened to be in Virginia. And Beth Macy is a reporter, a journalist who works for who lives in Roanoke, Virginia, and writes for the paper there. And she became interested in the story of this furniture company, which began as began very small and gradually through very good success in the marketplace and smart owners. Really took over. All the workers lived and worked in a company town. So, you know, we've read about company towns. People who read labor history know about company towns. But to read about the actual people who lived there and to take this big issue, NAFTA, you know, North American Free Trade Agreement, or this issue of the jobs, factory jobs going to China, for example, as they did with furniture making. And John Bassett, after being forced out of the Bassett Furniture Company, started a rival furniture company and actually took on the Chinese by accusing them of dumping, that is, getting subsidized by the Chinese government so they could sell their furniture for less than the American competitors. And in order to sort of make this an equal fight, what he did was go to the U.S. government and get a group of his fellow furniture makers to sign on to have the government investigate whether dumping was actually taking place.
So he got these people who were probably his competitors
totally.
Most of the time to get together to realize the common threat, which would be this furniture coming from elsewhere. And how was he able to compete? Because we know a lot of these jobs have gone offshore simply because offshore workers will work for less than
right.
American workers. How
right.
did he do that?
He did it by very adroitly cutting everything except wages, interestingly enough, cutting everything to the bone, and really with every new piece of equipment that he could get that would hurry things up, that would speed things up without losing the quality of Bassett furniture, he added that all to his factories. And, you know, this is not just a book. This is a book about people. It's a book about the big government issue and all of that. But it does, as you said earlier, it brings this whole issue of globalization down to real people and people who are struggling to live in and make a living in the face of this competition. So I think however you feel about globalization going into this book, you have to stop and think about what it means on a personal level. And the Bassett family, and this is the story of one of those, families that don't work together very well, and people are, ousted from their positions, and there's a lot of backstabbing, et cetera. But the man who founded the Bassett Company, John Bassett, decided very early on that he was going to hire African-American workers. And yes, many of the Bassetts disregarded the Civil Rights Act, and they would do things like build separate but equal recreation centers in town for the African Americans and the whites, but the black workers knew that working at Bassett was better than being a sharecropper, and it was a good life. It was for some of them a very good life.
It sounds like a great story, but a great story in the hands of a poor storyteller can not be that interesting. It sounds as though Beth Macy is able to bring life to this story.
She certainly can, and I think part of that is her journalistic background, where you want people to continue reading. I have to say, I found the writing perfectly serviceable. It didn't. I love just beautifully written books, and this was not a beautifully written book. It's got its point across. I enjoyed reading it, but it isn't a book I would think about and say, oh, wow, she put that so well.
Does she withhold information so that you're a little bit in suspense? Will this furniture company survive? Will they make it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So in that sense, it's a little bit of a page turner, too.
The book is called Factory Man. It's written by Beth Macy. Nancy Pearl, thank you so much for telling us about it.
Thank you, Ross.
Librarian and bookmeister Nancy Pearl joins us every Tuesday on The Record. Ever get 90 pages into a book and you're just not engaged? Well, tune in next week to hear Nancy explain her math on how many pages you have to read before you have a breakup with a bad book. This is The Record on KUOW Seattle.